Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
Sabres Lightning. Tonight in Tampa Bay, 7:30, Sabres game night on MSG is at 7 p.m. with Brian Duff and Marty Biron. Don't forget, RJ, Rob Ray, and Dan Dunleavy will join them during the pregame show. Pregame coverage on WGR 550 begins at 6:30 with Shope and the Bulldog. Rob Ray will be with them live at 4 p.m. The Boston Bruins won their seventh straight in a 3-2 shootout victory over the Golden Knights. David Backes scored the decisive goal in the sixth round of the shootout. Jake DeBrusk scored in his fifth straight game, and Yaroslav Halak made 31 saves. I think DeBrusk had 10 points in his last five games heading into last night. Flyers defenseman Radko Gudas has been suspended for two games for high-sticking Lightning forward Nikita Kucherov. The incident occurred on Tuesday at the 15:52 of the third period mark. Gudas was assessed a minor penalty. A minor penalty for high-sticking. Bills announced this morning they re-signed linebacker Dion Lacey to a one-year contract. Lacey has played the last two seasons for the Bills and was third on the team in special team tackles. It's also been reported that Syracuse men's basketball coach Jim Boeheim, thank you, Angela, getting my coffee delivered during the sports update, struck and killed a man walking outside with his vehicle on Interstate 690 around midnight last night. The man had gotten out of his car that had crashed in an unrelated incident. Boeheim just coached the Orange to a 69-49 win over Louisville. He is cooperating with the investigation. The North Carolina Tar Heels beat the Duke Blue Devils last night 88-72. The biggest news of the game wasn't the score. It was Zion Williams' shoes. Zion Williams. I'm shocked about that report. I just read about Jim Boeheim. That's absolutely terrible. Wow. Keep you posted more on that, I'm sure. But that's scary stuff, man. That's scary stuff. Back to the instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Sabres take on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight at 7:30, 7 o'clock pregame show on MSG with Marty and Duffer, as I mentioned in the update. And, 7:30 on MSG is the game. So, Riv, heading into today, we were talking about, obviously, Botchell's press conference yesterday. No coaching change will be made, which I feel is fair to Phil Housley. All right, and I will say that again. I feel like the team that the two of them, if they sat down and envisioned putting on the ice together, is not the team that it's not there yet. I think there are more changes to be
nowhere,
made.
It's nowhere near there, where it needs to be.
There will be players moved out at some point. I don't know if this is the deadline. There will be players brought in. There will be players drafted. There will be players brought up. But I mean, you know, to fire the coach right now, I think it's a little premature because he hasn't had the roster. Now, granted, I think we had higher expectations, you know, maybe for a Connor Sherry. I think Carter Hutton's been good when he played. Yeah, there's some games where he's struggled. I think Linus Allmark has made some strides, you know. But, I mean, the key word yesterday going into after the press conference was growth. And we talked about growth in the team. And, you know, I think people question, well, where's the growth? And I look at it and I say, well, you know, the growth in the standings, number one, yeah, they were first after the first, you know, what was it, November 27th, they were in first place. They won 10 games. And since then, they've had the worst record in the league. So people question, where's the growth? Well, I think that when you look at the players, no, there's no growth in the standings. In fact, they're going backward in the standings. But I still feel like Jason Botterill going in after this season, if he stays pat with what he has right now, from last year to this year, he has more core pieces ending this season going forward than he did starting the year. And that was the only angle I was trying to take with you in the back room.
Yep.
When I'm like, you know, people really question this growth and they look at the first place and now they've had the worst record. And I get those questions. I understand that. When you're at the top of the standings, you know, and then you fall, I understand that. I totally get that. So you question, there is no growth. Things have gotten worse. My theory, the way I look at it, when Jason says, take a step back and look from the outside in, which is hard to do, because we love to be negative and we love to find things to be angry about. And the team is losing. And not only are they losing, it's the fashion in which they're losing some nights, right? But I think if you're Jason Botterill, you look at this team and you say, I went into this year before you had Skinner, before you had Darlene. Let's say before the draft, at the end of last season. How many key core pieces, did he have after last season?
Key core pieces, you might have had three. And the three that I would say would have been Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, and Ristolainen. Those would have been the key three core pieces. Moving into this year, Jason Botterill has added Jeff Skinner. He's number two in the league in goals. Sam Reinhart is now developed and continuing to develop himself into not just a good player, but he is going to be above that. He is going to be a great player. Rasmus Dahlin, in his first year in the National Hockey League, has certainly had his ups and downs, but there is no question, there is absolutely no question that this young man moving forward is going to be a brilliant, brilliant talent for the Buffalo Sabres moving forward for a very, very long time. So when you sit there and you start to add, you know, we had talked about,
we
put together this pyramid, you and I. We put together this pyramid, and what we did is we took the greatest team in the National Hockey League, Tampa Bay Lightning, and we did them in tiers. Tier one is only one player. You got to take the best player on your team. Tier two is you're taking three players, your next three best, most important players. Tier three is five players. Tier six is six players, and tier, you know, so all the way moving down, you build a 23-man roster. And right now, when you sit there and you look at Tampa Bay's pyramid, it is absolutely unbelievable.
Okay. Let's not jump to Tampa Bay's pyramid because they are the best in the league. But I'm looking at last year. Well,
You have to take the most elite, and then you have to take the Buffalo Sabres pyramid.
Last year, at the end of the year, I'm looking at the roster. Here are your core pieces going forward for your future after last season. Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart. Ryan O'Reilly was as good as gone after that year-end press conference. I don't care what they got for him. You have to get rid of a guy doesn't want to be here, period. 100%. If he's going to be you can't have an important piece to your team not want to be here and just think he's going to go out and perform. I don't care what he's doing in St. Louis.
Yep.
Because he wasn't happy here. And that alone you got to get rid of him. He didn't bring him here. So he didn't feel any loyalty to that trade, in loyalty to Ryan O'Reilly because he didn't bring him here. So I don't have O'Reilly in there. Kane was gone. Risto is a big question mark because I think he still has that potential. I just don't think he's found himself. In fact, I might even start to think that maybe he might benefit from a change of scenery. Maybe. But if not, he's in my core. But here's where I'm at with that. So I have two, maybe three guys last year. Couldn't have put either one of the goalies in. Forget about what Leonard's doing right now because he wasn't Robin Leonard last year. Okay? Now I have Jack, Sam, Jeff. Risto, I still have a question mark on, but you have Dahlin. I put Allmark in there.
Most definitely.
Put Allmark in there. I believe Casey Mittelstadt is definitely a core piece to this team going forward with what we've seen from him. He is the player that Jason Botterill's talking about playing in crucial minutes at this point in the season, you know, and learning how the grind really works. Tage Thompson's another guy. When he puts on another 12 to 15 pounds and learns how to become, you know, a well-rounded player, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I mean, he's another guy. So when you talk about growth, Jason Bottrell behind closed doors, his growth, he's probably looking at a core. He's probably going, well, last year I had three pieces.
Two. This year I have six.
This year I have six or seven. And I might even have a couple pieces in Rochester that I don't want to include in that, because you can't, because it's still so premature. Then, you know, the other question of, you know, why aren't you making any moves to help this roster? Three players, you could go bring in three players, and I don't know that's going to be that's going to fix
what type of player you're bringing in.
That's the other point too. I think Connor Sherry is a guy that I think I'm most disappointed in not being able to put him on this list of core players. But that doesn't mean he can't going forward. But I think that was another guy. But other than that, I'm looking at a list of eight guys, and I feel like those moves in the offseason for players that we don't even know that are available. And you made a point, and I don't know that I should bring it up on the air or not, but you don't think that we've seen teams and general managers in the past take advantage of teams that are in salary cap hell? What do you need to do that?
You need collateral.
Sabres have three first-round picks.
Sabres.
I mean, there are going to be players.
Sabres are going
to have
three first-round draft picks next year and their first-rounder the year after. So four first-rounders in the next 2 years. We've got a nice crop of players that are coming up in the minors. Our younger players here in Buffalo are not where they need to be. Casey Mittelstadt is not where he needs to be in order for us to be an elite team. But he's 20 years old. It's his first year in the league. He needs time to develop into that player. And Tage Thompson is the same thing. Rasmus Dahlin is another player. It's the same thing. We need time. And there's going to be a point in time where, you know, obviously the media are asking some tough questions, as they should be asking tough questions to Jason Bottrell. Why are we not making moves? Why are we not trying to make this team better? And the answer is this: Jason Bottrell doesn't have to go out, and he doesn't make trades because of the media. He makes trades because it makes sense for the team at the time.
You don't fire the coach because the fans want him fired?
Yeah, absolutely. They should.
Oh,
be
they
firing.
Do. They do. Let me go meet with Phil. Twitter's lighting up, Phil. I got to let you go. I'm sorry. Social media is calling for it. It just doesn't work that way.
Jason Bottrell will make moves. He will.
He will make moves. I believe he has moves in the works right now. I want to pull the sound that the guys have in the back. You know, it's number two. Bot's number two sound, if you guys want to roll the sound. It's talking about moves to the lineup.
Look, we are always looking to improve our team, and we're always looking to make additions to our group of players to help our players out. It's something that we're not going to change our model and our focus on trying to bring players in that are going to help this team not only this year but for the future. And, you know, that's what we're looking at right now. Our coaches are working extremely hard with our players on helping them with their development. Our management staff is looking very hard over next week to making moves. And if it happens, great. If it's not, then we're looking over the next couple months to make moves.
That 10-game win streak is the best and worst thing that ever happened to this team this year. It's the best and worst thing. It gave the players a taste of what it's like when you're successful.
Yes.
And you get to feel the love, love this guy, love the team, and then you get the reality of what you really are, and you get those unrealistic expectations. I mean, I feel like I'm on repeat when I say this, but I really do believe that 10-game win streak just absolutely was, it might have been the worst thing to happen, because it everyone thought that, oh, now this is a playoff team. Let's go make deals. Let's go. Yeah. This is the team. And I wonder, you know, like you have to sit back and think, like, did Jason Bottrell really see those games too? I mean, he knows what he was dealing with in those games. He knows the same thing we know. He knows that they very easily could have gone at worst 3-7 in that 10-game stretch. And if they were 5-5, and I've said this again before, so if you're a regular listener to the show, you take those five wins out, put them on the other side of the November 27th, and you're kind of sitting here going, okay, this has been a pretty consistent year for this team. They're right there. You know, they've had a good first half record, a good enough second half record.
No, they haven't had a good second half record. The second half.
What I'm saying is if you took five wins out of that and gave them 5-5 in the win streak and take losses that they've had, throw them five wins, and you know, I'm just sprinkling sugar on their record, and I think everyone's kind of like, oh, you know, I understand. Maybe they make a move at the deadline to maybe move a guy out or bring in a long-term piece. But I don't think that making a splash back in November when you're absolutely smoking mirrors is going to be the move. He makes a point about trades taking time. I think there are trades on the way. I think there are trades on the way, 100%.
But
I know nothing.
I believe that it's not going to be at the deadline.
You don't think there'll be any moves? No, you don't think players will be moved out?
I don't. I really don't. I don't think that there's any player on our current roster that other teams are salivating over. I don't think there's any move to be made for the players on our team. We'll probably stand pat with what we currently have right now. But like you had talked about before, and we had talked about this before the show, there's going to be opportunity. There's going to be opportunity for teams that have pieces. When I say have pieces, the Buffalo Sabres are going to have three first rounders most likely this year. That is, how many teams in the league are going to have three first round draft picks? Not very many. We could be the only team. Okay. We also have players, young players, that could be desirable for other teams for trade pieces. And there's going to be an opportunity, let's say, for certain teams in this league that are going to run into cap trouble. There's going to be a number of them. All those high-end teams that are having success right now, they're going to be in extremely difficult situations moving forward. Does that give opportunity for a team like the Buffalo Sabres?
The best example that I can give for what you're saying would be like in 1 year for one team was Letty and Boychuk for the Islanders. When they grabbed Letty from Chicago for, I think, a second-round pick because Chicago was jammed with the cap, and then they grabbed Boychuk.
Basically next to nothing. Those teams had to move those guys out because they just didn't have room for them. And they couldn't pay them. Well, you know, you look at the Buffalo Sabres right now is we have the collateral to go out and do some damage. And is there an elite player out there that just cannot be paid by his current team? And maybe we could be in a position of trying to grab an elite piece for our team moving forward. And is it going to happen? I don't know. But I'm saying that we are in a position, or the Sabres are in a position that we are going to be able to talk to a lot of teams with what we have to offer.
I'm not happy watching the games. I want to make that clear. I think the players are capable, and I'm not putting this just on the players, but I think the players are capable of giving more on a nightly basis, more consistently, top to bottom. But I will agree with the tweet here my point to that is, but I've taken the emotion out of it. Like I don't get emotional when this team doesn't play well. There are people that get very emotional about this, and I understand that. But that also skews the vision of where they're at, where they're going, what's been good. And you know, I was talking to somebody earlier this morning who is very negative toward this team. But he said to me, you got to look at the positives. There are positives. Yes, there are some hard truths, but there are also some positives. And I think that's basically, you know, what I think this guy here is trying to say. He said, I think the best decisions are usually made when you take emotion out of the equation. He says patience can also be a good thing, but I understand people are they're done being patient.
I don't think Jason Botterill is sitting in his office right now going, I'm just going to sit back and just wait for my guys to develop, and that's all I'm going to do. No, that is part of it. We need Casey Mittelstadt to learn from experiences. We need him to play games, tough games in the NHL. He's doing that right now. I'll tell you this. Have you seen growth in Casey Mittelstadt over the year? You better believe it. This kid has been put in a very, very difficult situation. I don't know if people really realize this. He's playing very difficult minutes against the top lines on the other teams. He is getting better.
How about
Rasmus Dahlin is getting better. Is he the same defenseman as what we saw at the start of the year? You're starting to see some pretty impressive plays by this young man. There's a lot of good things we talked about last year. The core pieces. We had Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart was a maybe, and Ristolainen. Well, now we're sitting in a situation where we have core pieces that are Jack Eichel, Jeff Skinner, Sam Reinhart, Rasmus Dahlin, Mittelstadt, Ristolainen, Allmark. We just went from three core pieces to now six, seven core pieces. And next year, we hope that the depth on this team continues to be built through development. Casey Mittelstadt's going to be a better player next year than he was this year. We're going to hope that Tage Thompson, 6'5", 210-pound guy, can get stronger, a little faster, a little bit more confidence. He's going to take a step forward. Rodriguez is going to be given opportunity. He's had a pretty darn good season.
He's on the top line tonight.
Top line tonight. And I'll tell you right now, if there's one guy deserves it on this team, it's Rodriguez, because I'll tell you, he has played some pretty darn good hockey. He's a pretty young guy still. We're looking for our guys to continue to develop. Next year, we're hoping, instead of last year where we had three key pieces, this year I believe that we have seven key pieces. Next year, we hope that we have 10 or 11 or 12.
Well, you have seven. I have eight, but I have Risto there as a question mark. There's a guy on the line who wants to ask you.
I have Eichel, Skinner, Reinhart, Dahlin, Mittelstadt, Ristolainen, and Allmark. Those are your key to those are your major key pieces moving forward. There's some youth. There's a lot of youth there. There's a lot of young guys. Eichel, Reinhart, Dahlin, Mittelstadt, Allmark. They're all young guys, and they are going to continue to get better. What we need to hope for is those seven key pieces. We've got more added to that those key pieces. So our team now starts to get deeper as you start to move down throughout the lineup. Instead of having three key pieces a year ago, now we've got seven. Now we're going to hope for 11 next year, maybe 12. And as you just continue to build properly, you're going to get a stronger, more difficult team to play against.
Hypothetical, again, 2 days in a row, you could trade two of those first-round picks you have later on and grab another core piece and throw them in for
major
sure.
Major core piece.
A major core piece.
Can I just throw out a crazy thought?
When we come back from break, because
Let me throw out that crazy thought when we come back.
Yes.
Because it's totally ridiculous, and it's crazy, but I'll tell you right now, if there's a team out there that is willing to go after this guy, the Sabres could be the guy.
Well, let's just quickly hear what Jason Botterill had to say about trade deadline before we go to break.
We've had a lot of conversations going on, whether those things come to fruition over the next couple of days. It's always hard to predict. And, you know, as I think we saw last year, sometimes you look at the draft and then things move into July 1st and then things move in the summer. I can't predict when it's going to happen. It's just we've continually looked at different ways to improve our team.
Something's brewing. I mean, whether they come to fruition or not in the next couple of days is one thing, but you know that with more time leading up to the draft, everyone's draft picks sitting, you know, knowing where they are and what, like, if you're bots, you can't trade your first round pick right now because you don't know where you're going to be in that lottery. You trade that pick now for something that you think will be here long term, and they end up landing in the top three for some random reason. They're Philadelphia from a couple years ago when they get Nolan Patrick. They go from 15th to second.
Yeah, 14. 14 to 2.
14 to second. I mean, you don't make that trade. Toronto traded their first round pick for Phil Kessel. It ends up being number two overall, Tyler Seguin. They win the cup. All right, listen, we'll be right back. Crazy Craig coming up here in just a few minutes. He's got some whackball thoughts he's going to throw at you. And I look forward to hearing this because we don't hear this too often. Normally this just happens off the air. So I look forward to it and your comfort to bring it out to the open. Craig Rivé coming up, WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rivé.
Welcome back. You're now at Crazy Craig's Funhouse, and we are going to work a few deals here, help out Jason Botterill.
It's funny because Crazy Larry just tweeted to us. Crazy Larry, he goes, hey. You guys are my therapy doctors today. I'm back in my Sabres Zen. at least till tonight.
You know what? Listen, I mean, Rome was not built in a day, the old cliche saying there, but you know what? It is true. I mean, if you want to be a successful organization, not an organization that's going to be in the position that we're at now, do you know how many organizations, how many teams in this league every year are always just fighting to make the playoffs? They're never those elite teams that every single year are there. They're almost like shoo-ins to make the playoffs. That's the team that we want to be. And in order to be that team, you have to do it properly. You have to make the right plays, the right moves. You have to allow your draft picks that you draft and the confidence in your scouts. You have to bring these players into your organization, and you have to work with them so they are now coming up to the big team and they are making you better. Yes, you're going to have to make trades here and there, but ultimately your team is going to be made up of your draft picks. They're doing it right here. They're taking their time. It's the only way of doing it. We need to allow our players, especially in the minors, our younger players that are playing on the team, even guys like Sam Reinhart, still a young guy. Jack Eichel, still a young guy. We need them to continue to get better and improve. That being said, in being patient and making the right moves, we have acquired pieces that we can start to now use to make our team better. Is last year the time to start to throw around first-round draft picks? No, it's not the right time. Was this the right time this year? Do you see Jason Bottrell throwing around first-round draft picks? No, it's not the right time. We're still in that mode of continuing to build within the organization. But there's going to be a point in time. We're going to have 3 first-round draft picks this year at the end of the year. St. Louis, San Jose, and our own. At what point do you start to use one or two of those draft picks to start to acquire and what I would say elite top end pieces?
Is this your crazy thought?
This is crazy. Now we're getting crazy. Now we're getting,
well, I don't think that I would in the perfect world for me this year at the draft, Bottrell makes 1 first round pick.
Excellent. I like the way you're thinking.
I want a player, probably your own, because it's going to be the highest. I would trade next year's first and then any of the other 2, St. Louis or San Jose.
So the way I look at it is this. Crazy thought. Jason, Jeremy Roenick brought this up yesterday, and I'm going to piggyback off what he said.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Patrick Laine.
Oh, my God.
You were in a situation. You were in a situation that they're paying Blake Wheeler, Scheifele. They're going to have to pay a young man and Kyle Connor, who has 45 points in 60 games.
You sure weren't lying about.
They're already paying Brian Little. They're paying Joss Morrissey, Jacob Trouba. They're paying $5.5 million to. They have to re-sign him, and it's going to be a big ticket. You already have Dustin Byfuglien under contract. Nicholas Ehlers. I mean, they have a lot of money tied up. My thing is, can you take a piece from them that has not been very good this year in their standards? This young man, Patrick Laine, has had the most abysmal last 25-30 games of the season of all time. He is not producing. He is not a piece of their success. And can we make a trade for a young player that's only 20 years old, that scored 36, 44 in this year? He's having a terrible season with 25. Can we make a move to try and acquire a player like this?
A player like this or this
no.
player? Because there aren't many players.
This guy. Like this guy right here.
What was going on in the water out there in San Jose that you and JR are talking about this? Like, you think Winnipeg's going to give up Laine? Well, the rumor JR did say yesterday that there was rumor or speculation heard in Winnipeg that he would not report to that team without a contract for $10 million
a year. Okay. Yep.
So, I mean, that could definitely, you know, warrant a trade if they don't feel like he's worth it. He's not their best player. He's their most lethal shooter.
Yes.
But he's not there. He's not even close to their best player. He's like their top, fourth or fifth best
player
on their
team. He's playing on their second line. He's playing with Brian Little and I don't even know who the other guy is, to be honest with you. But their top line is basically winning them hockey games. Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele, Kyle Connor.
They didn't win anything last night.
That being said, Patrick Laine, is there an opportunity to grab a 20-year-old elite, going to be the most elite scorer in the National Hockey League? Couple first-round draft picks, we've got it.
That doesn't happen at the deadline. Does it?
No, not at the deadline. Right. Absolutely not. This is summertime. This is going to take a long time because you're going to want to acquire a Patrick Laine, and if the deal can even work, and let's just say that they are interested in two first round draft picks, a rostered forward on our team, maybe a young prospect in Brendan Gooley, an Alex Nylander. I mean, there's going to be a lot of pieces
To go along to this point, I mean, in order to do that, I don't know if you have to free up salary. I don't think you have to free up salary, but eventually you're not going to want to have,
You're going to be missing Jason Pomaville at 5.6.
I know all that, but I want to go even deeper than that.
$5 million,
right,
I
want to go deeper than that. Do you see a scenario where Botro could move some other high-ticket price players out of here, and not because of their performance, because I feel Bogosian has been very good, but he's healthy. And I wonder if maybe a team might want a Zach Bogosian going down the stretch or into the deadline. And I wonder if maybe even Rasmus Ristolainen is a guy that teams would be calling about, that maybe, Jason Botch. I don't want to move Rasmus, but I'm wondering if you're looking at it saying he has value. I mean, if you're looking at a guy on your team, what guy in your team could you trade that does have value?
Does he change and does he fit?
I don't think Zach Bogosian brings in nearly what Rasmus does, but I think Rasmus...
I 100% agree, because Rasmus Ristolainen is considered a 1-2 slash three.
He's a solid second pair D. If he is in your second pair, you are looking very, very good.
Yes, you are. And they're not going to be able to sign Tyler Myers. So is that the replacement for Tyler Myers? Also, there's going to be draft picks. There's going to be.
I'm not just trying to find one player for Winnipeg for the deal or anything. I'm just trying to
get what I'm saying.
But in a couple of days, we're going to do a 5-hour show, and I kind of do expect, depending on how the Sabres do tonight and then Saturday 1 o'clock game against Washington. I mean, with where they're at in the standings, okay. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you shipped out some salary. Shipped out, acquire more assets, continue to keep the core pieces. If Rasmus Ristolainen, who is on a glorious contract, by the way, people want him, and you can get, I don't want to go and scare anybody and say another first round pick or a player. Maybe you can just trade for another player. I don't know who your team is that you match up with, but there are teams, and I don't know if interdivision stuff works or not, but I would trade Risto for Matt Duchene. I mean, if I knew I could sign Risto or, and add that depth, I mean, I feel like there are guys in Rochester that could step in and play right now, or other defensemen. I mean,
or soon enough.
I'm not saying Risto's the problem. I don't want anyone to mistake that. I'm just trying to shake up the roster here a little bit.
Yeah.
Heading into next season, because I mean, I think that's
what we're trying to do here. We're sitting here on the Instigators right now making trades for Jason Botchell, and I just picked up Patrick Laine.
Yeah, but
that's easy enough.
But what's a more realistic trade scenario?
Is it trading for
Patrick Laine at any point in the next 3 years, or realistically finding someone to give you a good price tag for Rasmus Ristolainen or a Zach Bogosian?
What are their feelings on Patrick Laine right now?
Who?
Do you think they're down in Winnipeg? This player hasn't scored. He's scored like 2 goals in the last 30 games. Do you know that?
I think they're down.
I think
on
they're
him?
Frustrated. I think
probably confused.
I think they're
we
looking at him.
Hurt.
They're looking at. He's not hurt.
Okay.
They're looking at him, saying, "You know what? You haven't done anything in 30 games, and you're going to tell me that you want $10 million? How are you justifying $10 million?"
Yeah, he's
right
kind of doing the opposite of the old contract year syndrome thing that we talked about.
He is not. But like, here's the thing: do you believe that this young man, who's 20 years old, has the ability to be a great player in this league
for
a long time.
Of course, he's already proven that.
He's already proven it. So why wouldn't you, as an organization with all this collateral, think about that could be a guy that could make us better down the line?
Crazy Craig here. This was the name of the he wants to trade for Patrick Laine. Aaron, thank you for making the point that if you spread out those wins from the streak, the season would actually seem like an ample improvement. I've been making that point for 2 months now. It's too bad. Great show today, by the way. Thank you, Aaron. Aaron Gertz. I agree with you. Great show today. Oh, this guy, Mark, tweets in. Mark's a regular caller, but we leave him on hold for an hour. What's the over-under that Rive says we need a difference maker like Brian Boyle if he's GM Jason Bottrell? Okay, that was his crazy thought. Now, I'll tell you something, Mark. You want if you want to get...
Hold on. What did he just say about Brian Boyle?
No. When you said crazy thought, I think he thought you were going to go and call for Brian Boyle in that crazy thought. But I will say this. This team will need guys like Brian Boyle after they go and bring in their players at the, in the offseason. Because with this young
core.
Does
this guy have a mic in the room? Because I said that's exactly what we need next year. I'm going to tell you right now. Next year. We need Brian Boyle. 100%.
You need more guys than that. You need your Jay Beagles. You need your, you know, Devontae Smith-Pellys. You need your...
You need guys that are hard to play against.
You need guys that are hard to play against. You need your Brian
Boyles. You need guys that have...
Matt Martin? Remember when everyone said that Matt Martin was completely useless? He was done going from Toronto? I think that is one of the key pickups that, you know, when Lou Lamoriello knew what he had in Matt Martin when
and
he was in Toronto.
And took him from Toronto and brought him right to the Islanders because he knew how he was off the ice. He knew how he was... The way this young man lived his life and how he was in the dressing room, he was well loved. And I mean, right
what
away,
I would give for a Matt Martin.
Yes.
No, but
and there's going to be changes. I'm going to tell you right now. You think our fourth line is going to be the same as what it was this year?
I wish I could go back and find. I remember the tweet. I remember. I can't believe these guys actually think Matt Martin still has game left. I remember it. I remember. Along with that, Craig Rive, something crazy. Let's take one of those firsts for Mitch Martin. Okay, no. Now you're.
You know, Austin asked a question. If you trade for Patrick Laine, does Skinner have to walk due to the cap? And my answer is no. I believe that you're going to have the ability to pay. You're going to have to pay some pretty high end guys. But you know what? You know, that's where you're going to have money coming off the cap. The Matt Molsons, I think Jason Pominville, you're going to have a Nate Beaulieu at 2.4. Can you move out one of the defensemen? For an example, a Scandella for $4 million or even a Zach Bogosian for 5.1. Can one of those players be moved out? It's a lot of money that we just talked about right there. We're looking at $15 to $20 million just on players that I feel – our younger guys are going to be able to walk in and take those positions. And we're going to have the money, I believe, to – like you look at Tampa Bay, you look at all the top teams in the league. They have many guys that are making a lot of money, but it's all scheduled or fit into the budget properly.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, keys to the game. And Sabres tonight, 7:30 puck drop in Tampa Bay. And we'll maybe our key to the game – will be our buy-sell trade because we got to get that in here too, presented by Buffalo Sports. So let's go to break. We'll get back. We'll do that. Don't forget, five-hour show on Monday, putting together a nice panel of guests. I'll tell you who's coming on for sure on Monday when we come back here. Instigators WGR 550 and MSG.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rive.
Buy, sell, trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment on McKinley Parkway. We're the Instigators on WGR 550 and MSG. The buy, sell, trade for today. The Sabres will move a player at the deadline. Not move for a player. They will move a player at the deadline. Not sitting here hoping that a guy gets traded or anything, but that's part of the trade deadline. Guys are always feeling a little uneasy at this time of year. Doesn't matter what your standing is in the organization. I mean, I'm sure Jack sleeps like a baby at night knowing he's not going anywhere, but most guys too. Some guys know where their standing is, but other guys, a little bit uneasy. But I would say I'm going to buy this, River. I feel whether you bring something in or regardless, I feel like something will be moved out. Because I feel like the Sabres have some players that maybe some teams might want to give up some future currency for in terms of draft picks and stuff from the roster. Like maybe a Risto, maybe a Bogosian. I mean, maybe a Scandella. Yeah. You know, Beaulieu. I mean, this tweet or this buy-sell trade involves a Beaulieu.
I see where you're coming from. I don't think they're going to be knocking down the door for a lot of our players, but I do believe that there's pieces on our team right now that could be pieces that is desirable for a team that's going into playoff. They want to go for a long playoff run. And, you know, you named, Zach Bogosian. I think he has had a pretty darn good solid season this year. He might be a player that teams phone and acquire on, and what it would take to drag him from the Sabres. Scandella, Nate Beaulieu is another guy that he wants an opportunity. He wants an opportunity to play, and we'll see what happens. I think you're right with someone will be moved.
Pominville is another guy too. Maybe, I don't know. We've talked about that. That's for debate for another time. We can 5-hour show on Monday, trade deadline coverage. Just want to just quickly go through the games tonight. Capitals, Leafs, Hurricanes, Panthers. That's a big one for the Sabres. Senators, Devils, Wild, Rangers, Sharks, Penguins. That's a big one. Flyers, Canadiens, Sabres, Lightning, Kings, Predators, Blues, Stars, Islanders, Oilers, and Coyotes, Canucks. So some big ones there that have some implications on the standings. We'll be back tomorrow, 7:30 puck drop tonight right here on MSG. 7 o'clock pregame show. You can also catch pregame show on WGR 550 with Shope and Bulldog. Rob Ray's on at 4. One Bills Live with Murph and Tasker coming up next. See you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.